Are you sure? Because I'm not hearing anything. Am I supposed to hear something? I don't hear it.
But I didn't hit the button yet, but you know what? Leaving it in. Okay. Fuck it.
Did you hit the button now? Am I going to know when you hit the button? Should I just guess when you hit the button? Is that the button? That's the button, Joel. I can hear the music now. Hey, welcome back to Stream of Consciousness, everybody. I am Joey Suerlid Stout, and this is Joel Treetop Cox. I think he used Treetop before. Oh, unprofessional. Joel, ceiling tile. Shit, that's not any good either. Joel Double Dutch Cox. I don't think I've used Double Dutch yet.
I'm glad you said professional, because guess what we're going to talk about.
Are we going to talk about being professional? Or are we going to talk about being unprofessional? Hey, Joel, what are we talking about today?
I'm going to call you on something that's kind of fun.
Call me on something?
Mm-hmm.
Joel, I've never done anything wrong in a day in my life. There's no way you're going to call me on something.
So about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad week for me. I probably fucked up. What did I do?
We were talking about the Mention Machine. You gave me some feedback about stuff for the podcast.
Yeah.
And you made a comment about if you had to criticize anything, it's how we broke the fourth wall. Now I told you to speak in the microphone.
Yes. Yeah.
So, fun story.
Well, okay, so wait. This is subjective.
Stop.
I can never even do this.
No. Because this story makes it even better.
Okay.
So, I'm on a bike ride. I'm listening to Night Attack's new revision called Greatest Night. And they got this guy named Darren Kitchen on. Now, Darren Kitchen's been doing podcasts and video for like 15, 20 years now. And he was on TV, he was on the show. And Justin, who's also the professional, told him, hey, speak in the microphone in the middle of the show. And I went, motherfucker.
You felt vindicated.
Motherfucker. Like, these guys are fucking professionals. Justin's been doing this shit for like 10
not.
Years. And the other guy's been doing it for 15, 20 years. Guess what, Joe? You're wrong.
No, I wasn't saying
you're wrong, Colonel Sanders.
I wasn't saying you're wrong to tell him to talk into the microphone. I'm saying it broke the fourth wall for me, and that was one of those things. Like, here's the thing: is what the Mention the Machine is not the same type of podcast as Night Attack or whatever the hell they're calling themselves now. So that's what it wasn't. You guys had a no. Listen, I love the show. I went on and on.
I know, but I'm just saying. I felt very vindicated when the same exact thing happened on a very polished live show.
I'm surprised you didn't just like text message me a middle finger or something.
Because I had to wait for the podcast.
No story behind it. Nothing. Just fuck you, Joe. And I would have been like, all right, that sounds about right. Because sometimes I get these messages from you that are like that, where it's just like, I don't really know what's going on. Like, I get the intention, I get the feeling behind it, but I really haven't pieced together all of why I'm being told to go fuck myself. It's not usually quite that harsh, but there are times where I have. It's been a while, but I remember getting like messages from you that were just like you just be like, you're a dumbass, and I'd be like, well, I mean, I know, but why this time? So. You weren't wrong, and I love the podcast. I was just like, and honestly, I even said like I was kind of searching for criticisms because I thought the podcast was so good that there really wasn't a lot to say. That was my one thing, was not that you told him that. It's just I didn't like that it pulled me out of. It made me feel like an audience member as opposed to sort of having that what's the term where like you just kind of like get lost in it we'll just say that I felt like I was really getting pulled into the show, and I knew I was a listener, like I know I'm not part of the show, but I really felt like I felt like absorbed in it. There was just that moment, a lot of the whole episode was just like where I was so enthralled with the conversation that time didn't seem to go by for me. It was just a really riveting and enticing show that you guys put on, and I really liked it. And I haven't had any word. We are. Is there an episode two, episode one? Because you do episode zero with podcasts, which makes no damn sense to me at all. But are we going to see a next episode of the Mention the Machine?
Well, I published one last Monday, and then I published. And I just upload. We're recording this on Sunday night to break the fourth wall again. And I just set the schedule to publish the next episode tonight at midnight.
Oh, okay. All right. So we are getting a second episode of The Mention Machine.
You're getting you're technically getting a fourth episode.
A fourth episode. Okay. Oh, okay. And by the time what you and I are recording right now airs.
By the time this airs, the other episode will be up for 2 days, 3 days.
Fantastic. Now. I got to go. Is it on Spotify?
It is on Spotify.
That's what I need to hear. That's all I really want. I'm going to add it to my list right now. All right, that's the end of our show because I'm going to go listen to that now. No, we can still listen. Well, fine. We'll finish up our show, then I'll go listen to the Mention the Machine.
It's got another 25 minutes to fill. We can do this.
I want to throw out a thank you to Annie for filling in for me last week. I appreciate that. I took my kids camping, and I knew I was going. Like, it wasn't like one of those things that snuck up on me.
Oh, that's another thing.
Ill planning? Are you going to call me out on that?
I call you out on it, but what's the point? Like, you realize you could have recorded an episode that night before you left.
I know. Well,
and
you know what?
And if again, you knew ahead of time, I figured it was spur of the moment, but now you said you planned it?
No. This was, I knew I was going camping, and it was one of those things where, like, I got to the point where, like, I left, was it Friday after work I left? I can't even remember. It gets even worse.
You told me on Friday Saturday. So you were already camping when you told me you were taking the kids camping.
No, I left Sunday morning, actually.
So you definitely could have recorded that episode before you left.
I could have recorded Saturday. I could have recorded Friday, and I didn't. It was irresponsibility. And listen, I'm trying to be better, because I've always been that guy. Like, all my life...
I'm well aware.
I'm that dude who just, like, I don't plan. I don't think ahead. I don't always, like... I've had vacations in the past where I was like... That's Friday. I got Monday off. Why don't we go camping? Like, I've done that before. That has been me. Like, I'm definitely that dude. Not just like the vacation thing. I don't care about vacation. Like, having an impromptu vacation is still kind of cool. Like, I'm not against that. But I do want to be that person who goes, you know what? I have these responsibilities. I have to record the show with Joel. I have to make sure the bills get paid. I have to get, you know, like, and I've never been, like, it's been that bad. Like, I've been a person in my life who will, if I don't have, like, I have all my bills automatically deducted. I don't pay bills. I already have bills get jacked. Like, it's like a car jacking. Like, they just come up and they go, give me your money. And I go, oh, it's your money. Like, I don't have to tell them to take my money. They just do it. Like, I can't be responsible enough for that. And I'm trying to be a more responsible adult because I've been an adult for like 20 years now and I have not acted like an adult for the full 20. So I did. I dropped the ball on that one. Yet again, there's been worse. There's been times where we didn't record an episode because I wasn't even doing anything. I was probably just sitting at home masturbating to TikTok videos or something. Like, there's no good reason for it. I just didn't do it. So
I just wanted to know the record. That's all.
You are definitely correct, and it was one of those things I could have done. But in my defense, in my very loose, flimsy defense. In my would not hold up in court defense, it's been just this whole new, you know, I moved into a new position. You and I were talking about this before, not on the show, but we were talking about it prior, where I moved into a new position. And it's been, I don't want to say it's been overwhelming for me.
It's been overwhelming.
It's close to overwhelming as it can be without, like, yes. Okay. There we go. That's a great word. It has been challenging for me. And it's not that I can't do this job. It's actually, I'm very geared towards the position they gave me. The problem is that I've had some trouble completely encapsulating all of the knowledge that I need for various reasons, mostly not my fault. I will take responsibility for some degree of this stuff. Like, here's the thing is I'd hate to say this because I don't know if anybody I work with will ever listen to our podcast or know about this. And I'm not talking down on anyone. But the person who is meant to train me, the person whose position I'm taking over, when I first moved into this, her and I had a conversation and about, like, you know, like, how she feels I'm going to do with the job and you know, some of the things that are going to be my responsibilities and stuff. And throughout that conversation, I was like, really? I worked in a restaurant for 12 years. I've worked in sales for God knows how long after that. Like, I was very comfortable and good with people. My issue was learning the computer. And she's like, okay, well, I'll try to teach you all of this stuff. But she was very clear out front about this. She's like, I am a terrible teacher. That was like, and that's not, I'm not I'm not rephrasing that. I'm not ad-libbing that. She flat out told me that she is a terrible teacher. And I'm like, that's okay. Listen, do your best. You teach me what you can. I don't care if you tell me stuff that I already know. I don't care if we miss things and I got to go back and relearn them later. I'm not going to hold you responsible for any stuff. I go, let's just throw whatever you can and whatever sticks, sticks, and whatever doesn't, doesn't. And honest to God, I'm not really one of those people that give a shit too much enough to really care if I fuck up the job. I know that's not a good employee thing to say, but in this position, it's one of those things that if I screw up, there's somebody there that's going to catch me. I have a very vast safety net, and my higher ups, my management, are extremely understanding and extremely cool about everything. If anything, I'm like, I really wish I knew more, and they're like, you'll get it, it's fine. And I'm like, no, I know, but I'm one of those people that I'm more comfortable. Once I have my confidence, and for me to get my confidence, I need to know what I'm doing. So, like, it's weird for me because I am not, I don't want to sound arrogant or cocky, but I like to feel a little bit arrogant and cocky. So this with the whole work thing, I've been a few steps behind on a lot of stuff, and it's just like, you know, like whenever you're it's not a matter of what you do. Like sometimes when your brain's more active, like when you start a new job or you're in a new place or a new environment, like you become mentally exhausted just because you're constantly aware. Like you're on that like that adrenaline rush of what's going on? Do I know what I'm doing? What's going to happen? It's not that things are overwhelming. It's that you kind of have to always be on your toes, and that can be very draining. And that's just where I've been for a bit longer than I would like to be in training. I've been in that mental position. So that's where I'm at with everything. And that's, I think that played a big part in my forgetfulness and my lackadaisical attitude with making sure we record the podcast. 'Cause I was like, I got home from work and I'm like, I'm fucking tired. Day is over. I'm done. And I just needed to mentally unwind and relax. So I'm not saying that totally justifies
By
the reason.
pretending to be homeless.
By pretending to be what?
By pretending to be homeless.
Homeless.
Yeah, camping.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, dude, I got camping, and like as soon as we pull in, so I stayed in a cabin. I didn't actually stay in a tent at the time. I know, right? Totally against my morals and my beliefs. There's a reason behind that, and if you'd like, I can get into all of that, but I don't want to make the entire show about me. I actually want to talk about Joel a little bit today.
Lies.
I know I do like talking about me because nobody loves me more than I love myself. But no, okay, so I stayed in the cabin this time through, but as soon as I get there, like I get everything unpacked and we're getting all situated, and you know, like camping is one of those things, and I think I realized I kind of sort of knew this, but I think that maybe I've just like developed a better understanding of what it is that I love about camping and what I think a lot of people love about camping. When you go camping, you are in, first of all, everybody kind of is just on the same playing field. You can be the CEO of a company or you can be a janitor, but whenever you go camping, we're all the same. Everybody who camps is just like another camper. Like, there's no hierarchy, there's no social status, there's no classification of person. So you get there and like, and everybody is so freaking friendly. Like, you just hang, everybody who goes past, everybody who walks past, anybody who's like riding their bike or drives, everybody waves at each other. It's the friendliest, funnest fucking environment ever. Like, everybody's just like loving. So there's no like the separation of who and what you are. Like, you don't feel that whenever you go camping. And it's just this weight off your shoulders to just kind of be in an environment where like you don't have to worry about ego, I guess. One of the first people who go past me is a family, husband, wife, two kids, riding their bikes. Joel, they were black. And I was like, see, Joel. And I wanted to take a picture, but again, we've discussed that feels a little rude.
Funny story. I've been going to Millville to drive the trail. And one day I was driving down, my dad called me to go do something. I'm like, yeah, got the bike, I'm not coming down. So where are you going? I'm going to Millville. You can't get to Millville, there's no black people in Millville. I saw
Wow.
five black people. Half of them, well, like a little bit less than half, were walking, and the other half were riding bikes. I went to see them, like, Well, sir, you were wrong.
Yeah, no, Millville definitely has black people. Like, I don't want to sound the other type of racist, but that's where a lot of the black people live, right? Like, isn't Millville predominantly black?
No, Millville's more of a hipster melting pot, I think.
See, it's changed since I was out there. It's like Lawrenceville. Lawrenceville used to be, like, it was socially, the social economic classes of Lawrenceville were twofold be less than wealthy. But now it's all the hipsters. So, okay, so Millville's maybe followed suit on that one. It's changed. The environment has changed. Let's just say it that way. Okay, I didn't know that about Millville. Because I have, you know, my buddy Brian, who I talk about relentlessly at times, Brian's family lives in Millville, so we used to go out all the time. His grandmother lived out there. His aunt lived out there. Of course, she had an uncle, I think, lived out that way too, but we didn't really visit his uncle too much. So we were in Millville a lot. Pretty sure he definitely dated a girl that lived out in Millville, and I think he might have been slumming it at the time. So, you know, like, I don't remember Millville being any kind of well-to-do. And
I didn't say well-to-do, I said hipster.
But hipsters kind of, well, okay, no, I guess the hipsters kind of usually come from money.
Yeah, but they also like that grimy, like, oh, this is so,
Yeah, but that's just like, that's money pretending to not have money. Those are like the self-hating wealth. There's like, because there's people of wealth that are like, look at all my money. And then they had children, and their children are like, I hate my parents, so I'm ashamed of all my money. But they still want I want my allowance. Like, that's hipster-ish. That's pretty much where I come from. Like, they still had all the benefits and then all of the foot in the door. They had better education, so they did well for themselves, and a lot of them have decent jobs. But they're just kind of like, damn the man, you know, fight the power kind of mentality. And listen, I'm not talking bad about hipsters because, you know, I love them. If I could grow a man bun, I'd totally be a hipster. That was funny as fuck, Joel. Where are you at?
That wasn't funny. That's why I made sure to mute myself so you knew how unhappy I was with it.
So I can't hear you going, puff.
Uh-huh.
Pshaw. So. Oh, Joel. So, all right, you want to tell your story about your bike? Your bike ride?
So, as I explained on Jackknife Chicken Truck earlier today, yeah, I'm recording those again now.
How many podcasts are you doing right now? You're up to 3 podcasts.
Yeah, for now. Might be 4 or 5.
Well, you, like you have your own, in, like, that you were a permanent fixture in. I'm aware of at least 3. Are you like guest appearing in other podcasts?
Guest appeared on a pull request of what I was doing for technology, but that show's done gone. I am trying to get on as many podcasts as possible, to be honest. It's kind of addictive.
Okay. I think that's awesome.
I'm back pretty fucking right error.
Flawless transition.
Okay.
I didn't know how we were going to handle that. Let's pretend like this is still the same conversation we were having before.
Yeah.
Just roll right through it.
Okay,
like,
hold
we
on.
Just get partway like I was saying, we just get partway through things.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to start it.
No. Just go with it.
So I'm going to get podcast boot camp started really soon after I get back from the FPV Fest. Did I tell you I started an LLC?
Wait, after you get back your STD test? What are you doing?
FPV, not STD.
What the fuck is an FPV? Joel, don't throw initials at me like I know this shit.
First person view. Flying drones and stuff through goggles.
Some initials. Oh, somebody said something the other day. Damn it, and I was going to text you and I was like, I was going to ask what it meant. It was, somebody's talking about like a personality thing, and they were like an RGB.
Myers-Briggs, INTP.
No, maybe it was one of those ones, but it wasn't like
E. Did it start with an E?
It was like RBG or something.
Okay, that's not
real big gangster.
It's not Myers-Briggs because Myers-Briggs starts with an introvert or extrovert.
Rockin' Ball and Gator. I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was something like real close to that. BRG. That's burger. I don't remember what it was. I saw something the other day, and I was like, oh, I wish I would remember, because I was going to text you, and then I just didn't, and then I got sidetracked and busy, and then I said, fuck it.
Oh, speaking of sidetrack, as I was saying from Jack and the Chicken Chick, I was mentioning, I was helping my friend with their computer, and as you know, I don't charge my friends, like, labor.
That reminds me.
Yeah, you kind of, that's the other thing. Okay. You ditched Bailey's computer getting looked at to go camping, so I had fun.
I was going to try to bring it to you beforehand, but you said you were busy that week.
No, I said the following week, you said okay, and the next time you went camping for a couple days.
Oh, I thought I went camping before you were available.
You're camping, the day I was going to come out was the day you went camping.
What I'm saying.
I was supposed to come out on Monday, and you went camping Sunday.
Yes, that is correct.
So anyway, I was helping with a computer, and I mentioned I wanted a street bike because I wasn't keeping up. I was getting passed left and right, and I'm pedaling my ass off and not catching people. She goes, well, I got my husband this racing bike, and he doesn't use it, so I'll give it to you. I'm like, okay. Didn't realize how expensive this bike was. It's a four-digit bike.
Oh.
So I got tubes from Dick's, which was a bad idea, which we'll get to the next part of that story later. I got, what else did I buy? I bought one of those gel seats, because I don't know why. I feel like anybody who bikes does not want comfort. Like, they rather just have, like, a piece of stone shoved up their ass. It's annoying.
I mean, to each his own, but...
Yeah. Oh,
look, here comes a garbage truck. Can you hear that in the background? Say hi. Hi. They don't do this thing when you do bump the arm. They don't toot toot.
Nope.
It must just be 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to the bike seat thing. I believe that depending on what level of biking you do, sometimes those big gel seats, they bother you more. I like the skinny little seat a lot of times.
Yeah, the gel seat's the best way to go for me, because on those longer rides, I don't want to sit down and be like, I feel violated. Just not good. Just not good feeling.
Do you do a wide gel seat or do you do a skinny gel seat?
This one was a skinny one because the seat's skinny. And it's also, it's kind of a gel seat, but it feels almost normal. I'm like, if this is already a gel seat, I'd hate to see what the regular seat's like.
See, sometimes though, the solid seat, I don't like the solid seats. That's not what I was going to say. Sometimes those wide seats are the ones they kind of like rub between my thighs. We had this conversation before about how I get, like, sometimes, especially if I run and stuff, I get, like, that chafing between, you know, like, around mm-hmm. the ballage area where my thighs rub together mm-hmm. until they start a fire. Like, you don't get that.
Nope.
Yeah, because I thought that was just an everybody thing, except for, like, little skinny model chicks or something where they have a thigh gap. But, like, I thought everybody else who was a normal person got... The ball rub thing where like your nuts chafe but I get that whenever I ride if I ride a bike seat for too long that's a bigger seat, I'll get it like towards the like past the taint, but like sort of in the crackage area.
Okay, yeah, so
I'm trying to draw a picture for the audience
here. I'm not drawing that picture. So I got all the stuff. I got the tubes and the bike. It's just like, she gave me the bike at like 7 o'clock. I'm like, okay, sunset is like 8:40. Maybe I can get down the thing and do a 2-mile and come back.
Oh, wait, this is, because I know this story a little bit. So, but this all happened.
It started Thursday. We're getting there.
Oh, okay. I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Okay.
So, I couldn't figure out how to put air in these damn tires. Because this Schrodinger valve, it was weird. Like, it wasn't like a normal valve. So I got the adapters, put them on. It took me 20 minutes to put air in the tires. By the time that happened, it was almost dark. I'm like, I'll just ride around my plan, because it's this little flat area that if I do like 4 laps, it's a mile. So I did that. I got like 4 miles an hour faster. I'm like, oh, whatever. I guess I need some space to open this thing up. So I go the next morning, and I get on my bike, I put on some music, and like I have these playlists where like it's like high-speed techno music. Because, you know, the faster the beat, the faster you gotta go. Like, you gotta keep up. So I'm jamming out. I'm riding my bike. I'm like, oh, this feels faster. And my watch, every mile will tell me 1 mile, time, blah, 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 blah. Heart rate, blah, 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 blah. So my average speed was, like, between 5 minutes and 6 minutes, and depending on how hard I pushed it. I got a 4:45 one time, but averaging like 5:15, 5:30. Can you guess what the number was on the new bike?
Was it 4-something?
Was it
6-something?
It was 3:45.
Holy shit. That's a big difference.
I was doing like 15 miles an hour. At one point, I was doing 3:18 a mile for the 1 mile. So I'm like, this is awesome. So then I went out again Friday night because I had some extra time after doing the Mention Machine with Eugene. And I got my tow hitch finally. So the tow hitch is on the car. I popped my basket, drove all over the Pittsburgh to get it. Went to show my parents. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go biking for 10 miles. So I go out, I'm biking, mile 1, mile 2, mile 3. Where's mile 4? I look up, I'm like, I don't recognize where I am. Like, none of these landmarks look familiar. So I'm like,
You're on a trail at this point, or you're biking on the road?
Trail.
Okay.
So I'm like, turn around, reset the watch. It, like, paused itself or something, so I lost. It was only, like, half a mile past where I was supposed to be. So I got the time, like, I think I could have been a 40-minute mile. So Saturday rolls around. I go down, and I see this, like, I'm moving my car. Here comes a cop with, a flatbed and, like, one of those little gator things. And he waves, and I wave back. I'm like, what the hell is this cop doing here? And then I remember there's this pedal with the police signs all over the place. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm looking on my car. Another cop drives by. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I jump on my bike, put on my music. I'm zipping along. I get my 5 miles out, hit the 20 minutes, turn around. Okay, let's make this ride back. I'm flying. I get a mile and a half. I'm by the casino. There's a little, hill that goes down and go back up.
Yeah, 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 okay.
So there's, a couple. And my biggest new pet peeve is people do not know how to walk on a fucking trail. They seem to think you're supposed to walk completely abreast and, block the entire trail because nobody else is ever going to come by. And when you say on your left, people either move left or go, huh? So I had to buy a fucking bell. So I'm zipping along. I'm slowing. Like a little ding, 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 ding. Exactly. So I'm slowing down, trying not to hit these people. I'm like, okay, because I'm still learning this bike. So I slow down. I go around. I'm like, on your left. I buzz by. Boom! I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, your tire popped. I pull over the side. I'm like, you don't have your pump. But the police are like right around the corner. Maybe I'll just use their air pump. I take the tire off. I take the tube out. And there's a giant hole in the tube. Bigger than any patch I have.
Oh, that sucks.
And I went, I guess that's why I carry an extra tube around.
I was saying, I have that tire slime stuff, but mine is a billion years old. I had it.
That tire slime would not have done crap.
Yeah, no, if you have a hole that big in it, if you have a leak, it'll work.
Oh, no, this was basically an explosion. So I'm like, I'm running the numbers. I'm like, I can call somebody, but then it'll be a while to get out here. And I gotta go back to my car anyway. I'm not gonna sit here and wait. I don't wanna sit here and wait. I'm like, maybe if I can get the cops to pick me. No, I can't leave my bike anywhere because this bike's expensive. Like, it's a cool bike. And I'm like, this bike, my new rule is when I'm riding this bike, if it's not within eyesight, I don't leave it anywhere.
Yeah, no, right. No, especially a bike that nice.
Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, fuck it, just walk it. So I'm walking the bike, I'm hits by the side, I'm like, oh, I'm going by. So I'm like, you know what, start a walk on your watch. So I started. I'm like, oh, 2 minutes or a tenth of a mile? I'll get this done in no time. I didn't do my math right. That's 20 minutes a mile.
I'll tell you what, though. You know what's funny is, when I walk, I walk slow. I am not a power walker. Because, you know, I go on the
trail, but you're not. You're also not towing a bicycle in tow.
No. But I'm wait till you hear, because you're actually going to be a little more proud of yourself. Because when I run, I try to pace my run also. So when I run, I could probably do, I get a mile, I could do it in around 8 minutes, but I try to stretch it out to 10. Like, I try to push myself between 9 and 10 minutes is where I want my run to be, just because it's I can get a little farther from it, and there's no reason for me to push myself that hard. I'm not training for something. I'm doing it more to enjoy myself. So a lot of times, I'll run so far out and then like maybe I'll run a little bit back, but I try to walk a lot of my like my way back, at least like the last mile or two. I try to walk it, and a lot of times my walk is so slow, I'm not exaggerating, Joel, I will get passed by like old guys in their like Velcro McGregor shoes, just kind of like shuffling along, doing their little hustle. These are the dudes that start off in the mall in the morning. Like, you ever see, you end up in the mall accidentally too early in the day, and you see like the old people just shuffling around the mall. I'm talking like those guys pass me up. So like when I'm walking back, my walk is probably close to like 25 to 30 minutes for a mile. That's not an exaggeration. I know that sounds like I'm just making some shit up. I, honest to God, it takes me 25 to 30 minutes to walk a mile. I can run it in like 8, which, I mean, that's not like an amazing time, just for the record. Anybody who's like, oh, I do it in 7, go fuck yourself.
I think 6. I think for some reason 6 minutes is like that sweet spot.
But yeah, I think most people who run like marathons and stuff usually hit around like 6-7 minutes. If you're like an intense runner, you can do like 6 or 7 minutes. But like that's not sustainable for me. I think most people are probably like 7-8 minutes. And like I said, if I push myself, I can get in just under an 8-minute mile. But like I don't push myself, and I've only done it a few times just to see how I can do. Without fail, like there's always that one douchebag, and I go, I do my mile in like 1 minute, and somebody always, I don't care what crowd you're in, there's always one cock nugget who has to go, oh, well, I can do a mile in 7 minutes, 2 seconds or something. You go, you know what, stick it up your ass, dude. There's always that guy. Anyways, I'm sorry. I was going on my own tangent because I hate that person.
Well, it's funny because like I'm basically racing myself, seeing if I can beat my times and like whatever. And I'm also trying to get my heart rate down, because I found out different heart rates burn different amounts of fat and carbs and whatnot.
Yeah, the harder you push yourself, the more you're going to burn.
Well, it depends, because there's one part where you're burning this with fat. There's another level where you're burning fat and carbs. And there's one there's one level that claims that you should only do this once or twice a week unless you're a professional athlete. Do not do this. Do not take your heart to the maximum rate for this so long. So, like,
I'm so out of shape right now that I think my maximum heart rate is whenever I walk up the steps.
So, like, I'm walking back, and, like, a couple of the cops that waved at me and said hi. I'm like, whatever. One guy's like, oh, we can fix it. I'm like, yeah, I blew up the tube. I'm screwed. So I'm walking back, and then I got passed by all these people. There's a group of moms that I'm like, please just get by me. Like, I wanted them to just shut up or drop dead. Like, they were that annoying. And then there's a guy on bikes coming, and they felt like they had to jog around me for like 5 feet and then walk in front of me. But after the first mile, I'm like, I got to carry this bike because I don't want to mess up this room. So I'm carrying the bike on my shoulder, and that's why I took that selfie.
I saw that one.
And I took it, and I sent to Anna. She goes, you need to make that your profile picture. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll do it for Instagram. Picture. So then Scott, I sent it to Scott, too, because he's been bugging me with biking. He's like, you should make that profile picture. I'm like, oh, I guess it's my profile picture. So if you look on Facebook and Instagram, it's not my profile picture. So I'm like a mile and a half from the car. And the pedal for police guys are coming by. And like 2 people stopped. They're like, say, oh, we need help. I'm like, yeah, nothing can do. I need to take it back to my car. And then I saw the Pittsburgh Pirate coming by. I'm like, well, this is fucking hilarious. So I went to take the picture, and he saw me. So that's when he put his legs out. And, like, I have a picture of the Pittsburgh Pirate on a bike with his legs out just riding by. And, of course, Dave in the comment, hey, I'm glad you found someone to ride with now.
That is a great picture, though. Here's the funny thing is I saw the picture of you in those ridiculous sunglasses that look like they look like what the future was supposed to look like back in 1970. I love those sunglasses, and like
they're my Doc Browns from Ready Made RC.
They totally look like the Back to the Future Doc Brown sunglasses.
Every chance I get, I buy an extra pair of those sunglasses. I got like 3 that are fine, and the rest are just parts. Because that is my official look for the rest of my life, and once they stop being made, I'm screwed.
I love that, but like you, so I saw the I can't remember what it was. You must have commented something about, at least I saw the Pittsburgh Pirate.
Yeah, that was on Instagram.
But like, okay, so, but the first time I scrolled through, you know, like maybe it was on Instagram. And I can't remember because I haven't been on social media.
I don't post on Facebook anymore.
So must have been on Instagram, which is weird because I'm never on Instagram. Like, even I don't do social media a lot at all, but I definitely don't do Instagram ever. But like, for some reason I was on Instagram. I must have been looking for something or doing. I can't remember. I know for a fact I was on Instagram recently though. So I'm looking through and like, you know, like the first time you go through, if somebody puts multiple pictures, they show one, but then if you scroll back through it later or if you refresh, they'll show the second picture. So I must have went through and I just thought it was two different posts. I remember seeing the one picture of the showing the tire. And then later on, I saw the picture of you carrying the bike. And that's, I think, whenever I saw you said something about the parrot. And I never thought to swipe to see if there was another picture in there. It just, in my head, it was two different posts. And I was like, yeah, that sucks. And I probably wasn't even paying attention. I was probably just having one of my brain dead moments. But then I don't even know what made me go back on. There was something I went on. It was just like literally an hour before you and I started recording the show. I was flipping through and I saw it. And I was like, oh my God, he saw the Pittsburgh parrot. Like, he said it, but like, I didn't realize, like, it just never, it didn't process in my brain. And that picture is fucking awesome. I love it.
It's gonna be the cover art for this week.
Yes, it should be. Check that out. Hey, everybody, look up at the picture.
But yeah, it was interesting.
We time traveled earlier, so I don't know where we are as far as the show right now.
We could kill it.
You keep the time, Joel? I was like, we either recorded 15 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes, and I don't know which one it was. Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us here on Stream of Consciousness Podcast. I wasn't saying we had to end the show. Just for me. Okay, this was like, I wasn't like saying, Joel, I'm done.
Okay, no, well, anyway.
So, whatever you want to do.
Like I said,
people were already ready to tune out, Joel. Everybody got up to go to the bathroom now.
I had to buy a bell because this morning I was riding, and
fuck me, go do your thing.
I'm not being racist. There were six Indian guys running, and I yell,
"What guys?"
Indian.
Okay.
And I yell, "On your left!" Nobody reacts, so I'm slowing down, and the one guy sees me, and goes, "Get out of the way!" So then I swear to you, I'm pretty sure he pulled them aside, explained what "on your left" means.
You know what though? Like, okay, so like when you first of all, I just want to say that I don't know how it is over your neck of the woods, but where I live right now, we're seeing this huge influx of Hispanic people and Middle Eastern people, and I think the Hispanic people, the Mexican guys that we have coming in, a lot of them are because there is a chemical plant that opened up not too far from where I am, and they're bringing in a lot of outside labor. They're bringing in guys from Texas, and a lot of the guys from Texas happen to be Hispanic guys, and a lot of them just don't even speak English. Nicest, coolest dudes, because I deal with a lot of them at my work. They're all just like super good people. They're all really nice. They're all really, and once you like get past that language barrier and you start to understand each other, like there are a lot of them are really funny too. Like they're just great guys, but there's definitely some cultural differences, and there's some. It's not like that they're inconsiderate. They're just there's a misunderstanding, or it's just a cultural thing. But I also deal with a lot of Middle Eastern people. And I've noticed one thing about Middle Eastern people is it does feel almost like they're just like things like that. Like you're riding along and they don't know to get out of the way. And it's like, you got it. Like that can't be a cultural thing. Like you see someone coming, you step out of their way. That's
I was trying to unmute myself and hit the wrong button.
I was like, was my story boring? You're like, you know what, fuck it. This sounds like it's going somewhere. This is at the end of our show today. Let's end this before Joe says something that gets us in trouble. People are going to write letters.
I wish they would.
What I'm about to be is I don't want to sound racist, but I'm going to say a racist thing. That's how white people start.
You can't cancel us because I pay for this out of pocket. Right?
but my whole story where I was going with this was one of the things that I noticed a lot. So I was telling, I don't know if I said this on the show or if I might have said it before the show. I might have said it on the show. I might have said it while we were in that little glitch where we thought we were recording, but we weren't. I had yesterday was my first day by myself, like completely just on my own in the office.
All
in
my by position. Myself.
Only like it was not that it wasn't like one of those moments where I was like, oh, what a nice little peaceful time. I was out of my fucking gourd, dude. I was running around so crazy. I couldn't keep up. The phone was ringing off the hook. People are like, we need apartments. And again, it's all these Hispanic dudes. And it's like, hello, you need an apartment. I'm like, I'm sorry, what now? And they're like, what? And I'm trying to explain to them, like, I don't have anything until September. And then I have like a couple bedrooms that are available in September. And then I won't have anything until October. And like, you have to say it like five or six times. And you have to kind of reiterate. And then, like, you say it to them. And then you go, okay, so this is the situation. You have to explain it a whole bunch. And then once they finally get it, they go, okay, hold on 1 second. And then you hear them like put their hand over the phone, and then they're like, to people in the background. That's not what that's not what Hispanic Mexican sounds is Spanish. What the fuck? What language? Maybe I am racist. No, that's not what Spanish is. But they do their little Spanish thing where they explain it to a room full of other people, and then like I hear like people talking back, and then they want to ask me questions, and it's just long, drawn out things. So I'm on the phone all day. I'm constantly picking up the phone. I can't get any of my work done, and I have to show off apartments. I had 10 different showings in one day, and that's a fucking lot. Normally you have two or three. Sometimes you don't have any. So 10 is a lot. So one of mine, so I was supposed to meet this dude at 3:30. 3:30 comes and goes. He's not there. I end up messaging him and saying, hey, listen, man, I got to go. I got another appointment at 4:00. I get back to the office at 4:00. Phone starts ringing off the hook still. I'm answering those calls. The dude is supposed to come in at 4:00. Middle Eastern guy doesn't show up until 20 after 4. Now I'm kind of like, that's a little bit of a shitty thing to do. Like, I have got appointments. You show up at 20 after 4. Luckily, my 4:15 didn't show up, or else you wouldn't have got taken care of. Because I had a 4:15, a 4:30, a 4:45, and a 5:00. So it takes me more than 15 minutes to do a showing, and so I'm already running real tight. This dude showed up 20 minutes after his appointment. So I'm like, one, okay, that's where this whole cultural thing comes into play. In Middle Eastern cultures, Indians and Pakistani, like I said, they a lot of times they don't understand the fast-paced American environments. It's not that they're being shitty. It's just that they a lot of times don't comprehend how we're not as relaxed about that. When you have an appointment, you need to be there because that's the time frame that you're supposed to be there. Like, we're not just sitting around waiting for you. I think like things must be just a slower pace over there. So the dude finally shows up, and he gets there. Luckily, my 4:15 canceled. Or actually, they were just misscheduled. They asked if they could come in on Monday instead, or they were supposed to be in on Monday instead. My 4:30, I don't even know what happened to him. He may have showed up and walked away because I wasn't there, or he may have just not showed up at all. But thankfully, because I had to deal with this dude. So he gets there, and of course, like when he shows up, then also my 5:00 showed up way too early. My 5:00 turned out to also be the person I'm supposed to be at 4:30. I'm complicating things here, Joel. Let me just get back to this dude. So this guy, this Middle Eastern guy that comes in, he's 20 minutes after his appointment. I go to take him to the apartment, and I'm telling him, like, right now we have got so many applications out. I only have three apartments that have a two bedroom, and two apartments that have a one bedroom, and I have at least 20 applications that are out right now. And this guy, we get into the apartment. He starts asking me all these questions about what if I cut my lease short, what if I have to this and whatever. And I'm like, well, then there's a penalty for that. You pay an extra month in penalty, and then you forfeit your security deposit. Well, why would I have to do all of that? Well, why would you cut your lease short? You agree to a 12-month lease. You live there for 12 months. So, and I'm like saying it very politely, and we just keep going back and forth. And I think like he wanted me to say, I think in his brain, I was capable of telling him, oh, you know what? If you don't want to do that, I'll make an exception for you. Like, that's what must be going on in his head, and I'm certain of it. So I think it's, and again, I think it's a cultural thing. I think that that a lot of times there's this ability to negotiate a lot of stuff, and like, so he believed, and I had the same issue whenever I used to sell furniture. So he believes that I'm going to say, okay, listen, I want to get you into this apartment, so I'll give you, I won't hold you accountable if you do cut your lease short. Like, that's something I was going to say. And I'm not going to say that because that's just not an option. Like, I don't have that control. There are about 10 people above me that made up that rule, and there's no chance of that changing. So but he's asking, like, what if, and can we make this exception, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So we finally get through all this, and I'm like, no, that's not going to happen, not going to happen, not going to happen, not going to happen. So now we're like, okay, fine. So then I give him all the pricing on the rent and everything one more time because he asked me over and over and over again what the price would be. I told him this is it. And now he's like, can I get a discount on this? He's like, if I agree to all of your terms and your rules and these conditions and sign this lease for blah, 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 can I get a discount? And I'm like, no, you cannot, because we don't do discounts. And even if we did do discounts, why would I give you a lesser rent when I've got 20 other dudes who want this apartment who are willing to pay extra for it? I got people who are willing to go with, who are asking me if they can put an extra $150 down a month to get the apartment before somebody else does. And I explain that to him. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be rude. I just want to explain to you that there's no chance of this happening. I also have to get back for my other appointment. So I need to wrap this up. We need to get back. And no, I cannot give you a discount. If you're interested, you may have it. If you're not, then don't fill out the application and look for something somewhere else. And I say it like pretty much that, but I say it much more politely. And I did actually have to tell him I'm not trying to be rude. And then I was really rude to him. So we go on to this whole spiel, and this dude, like, the whole way back is asking, and he's like, well, you'll send me all this information, this, all this information, this, or send me all this information. And I'm like, I will, but I have to take care of all of my other clients who also want the same apartment that aren't really going to make me jump through all these hoops. Like, you're at, and I told him that. But it's a different environment. It's a different culture. And I'm sure, like, if we went over to their country, they would think, like, what the fuck is wrong with these Americans that they do business this way, and they're so anxious to get in and out, and they won't stop and talk and blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm sure that it's just a different mentality of, it's just acclimating to your environment. And I think that's where it really all rolls into play, is I don't think that there's as much pressure or as much intensity for Middle Eastern guys, whether they're Indian or whatever. I think that they just live by a different code of conduct. So I don't think that they're necessarily being rude. So when you're riding your bike and you're like on the left and they're not responding to it, partly could be because they don't understand what the words mean that you're saying.
Hence the bell. You hear a bell, you turn around and look.
Right. Yeah, a bell is more like get out of the fucking way. But
what I really want to do is blare the Ludacris song, Move Bitch, Get Out the Way.
Listen, if they don't understand on your left, they're not going to understand Move Bitch, Get Out the Way.
Yeah, but here, boom, 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 boom.
Right. Just gonna put a siren on there.
I'm pretty sure they'll get me in trouble.
Okay, so this is kind of fucked up, but I didn't come up with this one. This is actually one of my neighbors that I was talking to. And just because it's going to be important in a moment here, he's black. And we were talking one time about how, like, in my neighborhood, you've seen my neighborhood, you come down one road, there's a loop down at the end. It's the whole.
Why am I picturing black guys walk like this, white guys walk like this?
Okay, because it's exactly where this conversation is going. 100% where this conversation. And he said, like, we were talking about it, and we're like, it used to be like, really, you didn't have a lot of problem. Kids always play in this neighborhood, but there hasn't really been a whole lot of issue. Like, they're relatively respectful, and you come down, you drive through, and everybody gets out of the fucking road. Well, now, and I think I've told you for sure about the kid that lives a couple doors down from me. He's like 15, 16 years old, and he's been in and out of trouble a whole bunch. And he's out. They found a basketball hoop in the trash where they leaned it into a tree. And him and a couple of the other guys, they sat there, they play basketball while he's wearing his ankle bracelet, by the way. Just want to throw that one out there. So apparently he's allowed to be a little bit outside of the house. So they play their basketball and everything like that. Whatever, that's all fine. Except for it's a very small area between where my parking spot is and where they have this fucking basketball hoop. And I'm really kind of nervous they're going to bounce the ball into my car. But whatever. Okay, shit. Okay, as long as the window doesn't break, I don't really give a shit. If it leaves a mark on my car, I don't care. Just don't dent it. Don't break a window. Whatever. So I'm beyond all that. So me and my neighbor were talking about this the other day. And we're saying about how never used to have a problem with, like, you would come down and like the kids saw you coming and they would hurry up and get out of the road. You'd drive past and then they'd go back to play again. And he's like, and he said to me, he's like, when he comes in, he sees the white kids scatter off to the sides of the road and the black kids will hang out in the middle of the street and slowly walk away. And he started going off on his own little tantrum, didn't use any foul language or anything racially offensive, but he was basically like, that's what he said was like, when he comes through, he honks the horn a couple of times. He just gives a little bonk, 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 bonk as he comes down the road to get these kids out of the road. Like, and he doesn't slow down. He's like, you either move or you get the fuck run over. So, but we were talking about it, and he was like, He's like, you know what would get him out of the road? If I put a police siren, if I put police lights on top of my car and a little siren. He's like, as I come in, I'm gonna start turning on a siren and have the lights go. And I go, I guarantee I won't have any trouble getting into my parking spot. I was like, that's really fucked up, but it's also really funny.
In that case.
Yeah, let's end on a racial note. That's the way we really want to go out of this show. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for tolerating all of our bullshittery. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow us here next week on Stream of Conscious Podcast. Be sure to in something. I don't fuck, Joel. I don't know. I'm not a shit.
I get that. You can give me an idea for the Mitchell Machine. I'm gonna make an outro, and I'm just gonna hit the button, and it's gonna say everything, and you won't have to say a word.
That's a great idea. I also would like a shorter outro.
No.
All right, love you. Bye-bye.
And disco.